Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, it's a lucky day for us.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. We have a very special guest, Dina Marciano. Dina, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I wish people could see you beforehand. You're so cruel to your guests. So you're always teasing them and stuff. She's a little nervous. She comes in. She says, how long is the show? You're like, oh, it's like 2 hours. She starts to freak out and leave here.
Yeah, there's so few joys in life.
Is that it?
All right. Well, Dina, yes. We're going to get a little closer to the mic. There we go. Is a well-renowned and very sought-after interior designer. But in addition to that, she just is a great person and has a really interesting kind of history and background.
I got a little of it. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Did I hear she was a gymnast or some other crazy thing?
Badminton player.
Badminton player.
So let's, we're going to talk about your business and what you do and why people are wanting you so badly to do their house. But you came here from another country. So why don't we start there? What you did there, how you got here and so on.
Yeah, well, I was born in Belarus, which is East Europe.
Right.
Part of Russia. I guess part of Soviet Union.
Sure.
So I came in 1995 to United States as a Jewish immigrant. Uh-huh. With my father, and I actually didn't plan on staying. Kind of had my own life in Belarus, and I was training for the team.
Now, can I ask you, I'm just going to interrupt for 1 second, explain to everybody where Belarus is, because it was part of the Soviet Union, then it broke off. I think it did, or is it still part of Russia? No.
Well, no, it's its own country. In 1993, became separated when Soviet Union... All this country separated, so basically,
what is the
it's
boundary?
On the it's on the border with Poland. Actually, my city is right on the border with Poland. So I used to play badminton for Polish clubs, and it's on the west side. So
okay,
so in Ukraine.
Did badminton bring you to the United States? Is that what brought you here? Or
interesting, but it's not. It's just my family as Jewish immigrants and. As I came with my father, and I already had part of my family here, we kind of, he told me, Dina, you're just coming just to check it out, and if you don't like it, you can always go back.
Yeah.
And
you're a teenager now, or younger at that
I was
time?
A teenager, yes, okay. I was 17.
Okay.
So,
did you love it when you saw it, or were you intimidated?
I loved it at first, but I came straight to San Antonio, Texas. So,
slightly different.
And I studied English right before, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, what language is that?" Like, I couldn't understand anyone. It's like, am I in another country? But I really loved people. They were so nice, so welcoming, and laid back, and I really fell in love with San Antonio.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question? Because somebody else was tweeting here. Everybody went badminton, ? Is Belarus a center for badminton? Because I know there is a big badminton center somewhere here in Orange County.
Exactly.
There actually is. I knew that.
Yes.
And I thought it was like Indonesian or something. There was some other country where they play a lot of badminton. And
that is true. Asia.
Asia, right. But I didn't think of Belarus as a badminton heaven.
Yeah, it's an Olympic sport. And actually, there is a big badminton club in Orange County.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was training there as well.
It's up like in Anaheim or someplace.
Yes,
Anaheim. Yeah. I know this. Yeah. Bart's always amazed what I know here.
Paul, like, where does that come from? Wealth of knowledge. Okay, so you're in San Antonio. You have a hard time understanding everybody.
Yes.
How did you get from there? Now, your whole family is there now?
Partial. Like, my... father and my mom and my sister still stayed in Russia, and my grandma, my aunt, my uncle, they were in Texas.
Yeah.
So
how'd you get from Texas to, so you're still
California. Mm-hmm.
Playing badminton in Texas, or did you take a break?
I was playing badminton, yes. Yeah. Actually, my father did the research right away. We found a club in San Antonio, which was small, and was amazing. Wow. I started traveling in Texas, different cities, and it was really, really nice. I started winning tournaments, and I made a team, U.S. team, and I started training. Yeah. And I actually was traveling to California, and that's where...
Oh, that's where you probably got the bug, right?
Yes. I was like, oh, beautiful, beautiful state.
Yeah.
I think I should try to come here.
So then at some point, you did you leave your family and move out here? Or
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got into a relationship. It was fun. And yes, and I left San Antonio, and I...
Yeah.
It was, I kind of was traveling back and forth. I had a badminton club in Texas as well. And I was coaching children.
Oh, nice.
I was going to college. So I had a lot going, modeling.
Yeah.
A lot of modeling.
Yeah.
So.
Did you start modeling in Russia or here in California?
In Russia. I started in Belarus, and then I kind of continued everything what I was doing in Belarus, but in United States, which was great. So, and I was a little homesick, and then as I was going back, each time I was going back to Russia, I was like, no, I think I'm becoming more American.
More American?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it happens. That's why, why we're overpopulated.
But I really loved it. Yeah. Okay. So.
All right. All right. So that's a great lead-in. So how did you get from there to this amazing interior designer?
Well, interesting story, because at my ex-husband and I were building a house in Irvine Cove.
Yeah.
It was a big, long project that took us 12 years, basically.
12 years?
During that time, yes. I finished school of interior design.
You can get a doctor's degree.
Right. It was a lot of, I mean, fun, challenges, and...
Yeah.
It led me to open my own, actually.
Okay, so
design studio. Mm-hmm.
So you got an interest in design while you were building the house.
Yes.
You went to school. You
exactly.
came out interior designer then, on the other end.
Mm-hmm. And during that time, I also did surgery center for one of our friends.
Okay.
And physical therapy clinic and orthopedic.
Oh, so you do industrial. Mm-hmm. Is that called industrial or commercial design?
Yes.
Okay. Really different than home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Different, but I really like it. I like it both. It's still pleasing people and designing something that so important, I think, in this world.
Right. That's so nice.
Do you have a tendency to put little nets up or little birdies in the thing? Do you build in your badminton experience?
Yeah, when I do commercial. Yeah, I play with all my...
It took me a second. Birdie, net, and like badminton.
Yes, birdie,
I'm
that's
a little
true.
Slow, Paul. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God.
Shuttlecock, but birdie, yes.
Got it, got it. Have you ever worked for a firm, or has it always just been you on your own?
Interesting, but I never worked within a firm. Yeah, it's kind of word of mouth.
Yeah.
So far, even big projects, yes.
Yeah.
So now I'm working with developers.
Kind. Yeah.
Just got lucky.
Oh, so the developers are are it's kind of your network now, and they'll bring you in?
Yes. Yeah. I work with.
So those are usually probably big projects or custom homes or something?
Yeah, some of them custom homes, but most of them are just flip houses or for sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is that called staging when you get ready for that?
I do usually design from ground up, and I include staging as well, because for me, house has to look complete, completed when it's, I mean, it's all complements. Interior has to complement the architecture, so I try to do everything.
Right. Wow.
In one project.
what are some of the projects that you're working on now?
I work on a few projects, and they're in, thank God, in Laguna and Newport, which is so easy to get to. And I've really enjoyed it. And they're basically big projects, like 7,000-8,000 square feet houses.
How long do those projects generally last?
Usually, it depends. A year, 2 years, I think I would say. The longest 2 years. But it depends on the challenges, of course. Like in this one particular house, I designed and fabricated everything in Italy. So, and Italy is the country. I love it. They just take their time a little bit, and they're really enjoying life. And like August, you know, the whole month they're taking off. So we're like, oh my gosh,
here.
Yes, when you work with developers, everything has to be time.
Yeah.
You know, scheduled, and so we're having a little bit of challenge with the timing, but once you get that beautiful, my gosh, manufacture furniture, and details are so important, and they do such incredible job.
Do your clients watch you through the project, or is it like a big reveal at the end?
Yeah, we work basically through the project. When it's a personal, a client, their own house, yes, yeah. I work very closely every day. And
yeah.
But with developers, they just kind of, they trust me. I think that's so important. And I got so lucky that I've got a developer who really trusts me. And I kind of do my own thing. And we've got a great team.
Well, that's amazing.
Yes.
What are some of the biggest challenges you face in this career?
Interesting, but like I said, so far it's just basically having furniture manufactured and designed in Italy, but just the timing. But overall, I would say getting the right people, right team.
Yeah.
But once you get that team.
And who's the team? Are they the installers?
It's basically, it's installers and it's contractors, subcontractors, and different parts, and each part, plumbers. So once you get the right team, this is it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm almost there.
So I only just learned recently, as I was talking to some clients that were building a house, I thought when you contract with a contractor and included pretty much everything, like the tile, and the fixtures and all that. And my client was telling me, no, that's that you do so much with the contractor, and it's the designer who you pick the tile and get the tile from, and the fixtures and many other things. So that's normal.
Yes, I think it all depends on the project. Like some contractors, they can do all of that. They can provide, of course, but you don't get as much as designer, where they got more, I would say, knowledge.
And
so I do everything, pretty much, tile, colors, kitchen design, bathrooms, vanities, everything. Yeah, lighting.
Well, Dina, for those who don't know, is actually pretty well published. She gets her stuff in magazines all the time. So you're getting to be very well known for your work. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I'm able to.
Somebody wants to know, somebody tweeted in, what kind of design trends are running through Orange County these days? Anything? Everything? I'm an old guy. It all just looks like chaos to me. You know, I liked it when it was a theme. Now it's all just, you know, postmodern industrial with romantic flourishes and Mediterranean touches, and I don't get any of it. So what are you designing these days?
True.
What's hot?
I mean, there are so many varieties, but what's hot right now, I would say, it's very individual. It's so individual because I'm very different, to be honest. I'm probably not the right even person to answer this question because I'm so different, and I try to just make it very timeless, like combining classic, and that's what I'm trying to do, something more profound and that stays forever.
Yeah, so you don't have to change it every 10
years.
Yeah,
you don't have to change it. It's so meaningful.
Yeah.
And whatever piece of furniture or architecture, it just stays there forever. And it's interesting, it just makes you very, not only tranquil, but just relaxed. And but there are a lot of trends.
What is a trend now? Is it
like using Calacatta stone? There is a trend, like it's everywhere, I would say. And
and what is that? I have no idea what that is.
That's marble type of stone.
Oh, marble. It's got veins. Can't call it marble anymore.
Come on, Paul. I actually thought it was a Spanish stone.
So that stone is pretty much used everywhere now. And it's still a beautiful stone. But And what else? What's trend? It's more. Oh, so sorry. Did I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's more of this rustic look, I would say. Like everywhere, I think. Everywhere you go. Either
like restoration
a coffee
hardware
shop.
Style?
Yes, kinda. I would say.
Yeah.
Distressed
rusted,
chairs.
Distressed other, yes. Yeah. Right? You even know. So you know the trend.
Yeah, I'm here.
Right?
Yep,
so it's everywhere.
You can tell by his shorts.
My whole home has always looked distressed, and now it's back in fashion again here.
Every 30 years, his house goes.
For 20 years, it looks horrible. Then all of a sudden, people go, that looks kind of cool, those beat-up old chairs and everything. No, it was interesting, because I went to Bart will be amazed. My wife dragged me down to Dana Point. They had a street fair, and they called it the Redo Market, a sort of maker's market, and it was all this kind of stuff. I'm like, you want $1,000 for an old beat-up chair that somebody scratched and scrapped? There was all this beat-up stuff that had character to it, and it was all expensive, and it just looked like stuff somebody had thrown away to me. Yeah, but
it's kind of like maybe a very authentic piece.
Yeah, right,
it's
exactly.
It's like a museum. Yeah, it's very meaningful.
So my friend yesterday, who's building a house, he's doing Spanish contemporary. I hadn't heard of that style.
I think people just have their own styles.
Yeah.
And they just call it
Spanish
their own styles.
Contemporary mean?
That's what
modern
I was...
Modern Spanish. Spanish seems old world and, you know...
So maybe they combine.
And it's on the water. He's building a house on the bay. So I think it's an interesting style for that location.
Yes. So I think it's so individual and personal.
Well, for years, everything was that Mediterranean style. We're supposed to look like we're in the south of France or Italy or Spain or something like that here.
Yeah.
I don't think people are... I mean, those houses exist and they're beautiful. I don't know if that's the
No, I don't think
trend.
It is.
I think any trend, when it's done with a beautiful taste and style...
Yeah.
So my early Home Depot style is okay?
if you did a good job, if you put everything together. And I don't like clutter, like for me personally. Yeah, I'm very, I said, I'm a little different.
She looks at our studio.
I need to design a little bit.
I was just going to, you took the words out of my mouth. It feels like there's a push or a trend towards like a less is more, clean lines, clean...
Yeah.
Less knickknacks.
Yes, and it's kind of, it's proven actually.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be that for a while they were building along the beaches these kind of almost concrete homes. Mm-hmm. And every room was like concrete floor and concrete walls, and there was nothing in it. It felt like you were walking into a museum or something, and there was one piece highlighted on the wall or something. You know, very minimalistic.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to last. I don't know. That doesn't seem to be the trend.
Yeah, so there's, like in life, relationship, anything, it has to be a balance, right? So when it's just a perfect balance, when you find that balance, when you just walk into the space and you have that wow effect, right? Then
so do you design to the space or to the clients? Is it a balance of what you see there or a balance of what they who they are and what they want to see?
I think it's very important to see who they are and design a space that represents them, of course, so they feel it's their own space.
And so how does that happen? So you meet a new client, and what's the process?
We go out a lot, and we drink a lot. I'm just joking. We get to know each other. No.
We're in the wrong business.
We lighten up.
We're in the wrong business.
Remember, she's single.
Right? Yes, it's a fun business. I can tell you that. I love what I do. But no, I just
Twitter just lit up here, right? A lot of people want to do business with you.
That's good. Well, yeah, so I want to get to know them. So I talk to them a lot. I show them different, ask them a lot of questions. And I see their belongings and their house. I see their house and existing houses. So then I get a feel who they are and what they want.
Give me a question you'd ask. Bart wants to redo his house. You know, his wife's Tahitian, so they've got just... thatched stuff everywhere. It looks like it's all Tahitian. It's lots of tiki art and everything there. What would you ask Bart? Right.
Well, I know him kind of, right?
A little bit. Ask me. All right. You don't know me.
Yes.
All right. So I'm a multimillionaire. I'm building a new house. What do you want? What do you want me to do?
What do you want? Yeah, I would probably go to your existing house and see and ask you, like, what would you like? Like, what are you in your stage of life that what do you feel like having in your house? Like what makes you happy? What makes you like what colors makes you happy?
There's and so I many bad show, answers to that.
Right? That doesn't relate to design. Oh my God.
Okay. You didn't know what you were going to do, did you?
Do you ever get people, I'm sorry I'm taking this over, but I'm fascinated because I used to work a lot in entertainment industry, Hollywood. Somebody would become a star. That doesn't mean, so suddenly you're Johnny Depp. And 2 years ago you were a struggling actor working as a waiter. You have no design taste whatsoever. But you got to build a $50 million house. And they quite often will, Jim Carrey did this. They just literally say, here's the house, here's the keys, go design something.
Yeah. Do you ever get that?
That would be, yes, I actually, I consider lucky because I think people come they to me because they already know my style. They already, they want my style, they want, they like it. And basically they just want me to design their house. They trust me again. So, and of course we collaborate.
Okay.
But it's very important when you have that trust and collaboration and interaction with your client where you really make their dream house come true.
Let's talk about the business aspect for a second. Did you ever, I think I know the answer, there's not a right or wrong, but did you ever like, all right, here's my business plan, this is what I'm going to do, this is, and you kind of design what your business was going to look like?
Or, oh my gosh, I'm so spontaneous. Just like for this meeting, I came without notes. But
by the way, she came in running 30 seconds before showtime.
Oh my gosh. So but I definitely had vision.
Oh, vision.
Yes,
okay, that's
vision.
Good.
I always have vision. And yes, I write things down as well. But yeah, I know exactly, as far as design I know and business, I know exactly what I want and what I want. And I'm very particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, many people, like, well, I'll use doctors, for example. They go to school to become a doctor, and then they were never taught a thing about business. And so that's something that they strive. Do you have a business sense, or did you learn that anywhere? Or are you just strictly,
school,
boom, I'm an
we
artist?
We learned about business sense, design business. Yeah. But I think the life experience, that's what really is the best school.
Yeah.
That's where I really learned how to do business. And I think I'm still learning what's the best way because I'm still expanding and thinking different ways of expanding my business. And so I'm still learning that business aspect.
Right. And then to shift gears a little bit, you're a single mom. And so how do you
balance
how do you balance that?
I love it. I love single life, and I'm from marriage, but I just love being free. And I think because I'm sharing children 50-50 with my ex-husband, I think that allows me.
There's some time.
Yes, time to really devote to my work and to devote to my children 100%. Like when I have them, I'm with them.
So you're there and you're
yes.
in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that kind of the secret? So you're in when you're there, and then when you're at work, you're...
I'm completely...
Like, yeah.
Yes, in my work and
yeah.
dedicating all my time. And I love it. I love it so much. I think that's why I'm probably successful, because I'm really very passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
And I just want people to get inspired.
Yeah.
Do you still play badminton?
Oh my gosh, I went to play badminton like 3 weeks ago. I lost all my toenails because it was it was so hard. Yeah, because it's such an impact on your feet, and I went thought I'm still professional
out.
And you know, you still have that competitiveness.
Yeah.
And,
is badminton 1v1 or is it a team 2v2?
Oh, it's just like tennis. So it's singles, doubles and mixed doubles.
Oh, okay.
So I used to play all three categories.
Yeah.
So when I been playing, but it's amazing because it's the fastest sport out of all the racket sports.
Yeah. Yeah, you're moving pretty fast, huh?
Yeah. Kind of want to go back again just to play for fun.
Yeah. So what is, as we're nearing the end, I get to ask my guest the last final question, and that is, what is your ultimate lesson learned, either through your life lessons and what brought you here to the States, or as a business person, as an interior designer?
That's a lesson. Very interesting question.
We don't ask dull questions here. We ask the good ones.
No, it's like a really nice question.
Unfortunately, she has no answer.
No. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. I'm going to start speaking Russian now.
That's okay.
Well, I think I learned just to continue being myself, because it's very important. As I noticed after... you know, coming from another country, I think it's very important just to be yourself and have a vision of your life and just proceed your goals and have fun and be positive.
Those are great. Really good spontaneous answer from a spontaneous person. Now, I like to ask sometimes your guilty pleasure, and I know one of yours, and any guy listening would be so envious of your watch collection, because you wear mostly guys' watches, which look really great on you. So what are you wearing
today? IWC.
Okay.
Aquamarine. So.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you. I really do like men's watches.
Why guys' watches? Why not feminine, delicate girls' watches? Why these big, monstrous...
She's an artist, Paul.
She's an artist, right.
And I have a kind of a big hand.
You
hand
do down. Not.
Right? No, I mean, in a good way. Not like a man, but... But I have varieties of watches. So yeah. I do wear... I just have a tendency to wear,
How'd that happen? When did you like, hey, I'm going to try on a guy's watch, and then how did it stick?
Yeah, interesting. I just, I don't know, just got inspired to wear big watches. Every time I go to the watch store, I just love it. And not all the men's watches, like I wish, because there's such a beautiful collection of men's. Like,
yeah.
So hopefully we'll get there when women's collection will get more.
Do you walk in and do the people behind the counter say, oh, ma'am, you need to go over here? Yeah. You're like, no, I want to stay right here.
I want to stay where the men are. I mean, when men's watches.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Dina.
Thank
this
you
has
so
been a
much.
Lot of fun.
How do people you. Reach you?
Yeah, how do people reach you?
How do they reach me? Okay.
Like a website or
yes,
email?
Yes, website.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
It's dinamarcianodesign.com. Okay. And or my email, Dina. Well, actually, the email is there as well.
At the website. So it's website.
And let's spell all that, because Dina could be multiple ways. Right. Marciano, I can only guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually guess. I mean,
the same.
Guess. Yes.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So how do you spell Dina? And
so it's D-I-N-A, D as a David, not Gina. Dina, D-I-N-A, Marciano, design.com.
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, Dina, again, thanks so much. Thanks for everyone who has tuned in. We look forward to being in the studio again next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.